WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The Supreme Court, courts of appeals, U.S. district courts. When President-elect Trump takes office again, he's expected to nominate conservative judges and justices for the bench, a process made easier by the fact that the U.S. Senate will have a Republican majority. Here in the Chicago area, however, most judges are not appointed. Cook County voters saw more than 75 judges on their ballots, most of them circuit court judges up for retention. So who won, who got the boot, and what does it mean for how the justice system works in the county? To discuss this, I was joined by Maya Dukmasova, senior reporter for Injustice Watch. The journalism nonprofit has been publishing judicial voter guides since 2016. My first question to Maya was, when Donald Trump again takes office, he'll have the power to nominate federal judges. Would any of them be in Cook County or Illinois?
Well, we do have a federal court, a district court here in Chicago. It's the Dirksen Federal Court Building. You know, that's where Ed Burke and Mike Madigan are getting prosecuted.
Right now?
Yeah. So if you're, you know, but these are not the judges that we are most likely to encounter. I mean, if you're facing federal criminal charges, if you're filing a federal civil rights lawsuit, then that would be heard by a federal judge appointed by the president. However, the judges that were on your ballot on Tuesday, the 77 judges, there were two appellate court judges and then 75 judges who decide divorce cases, eviction cases, who are the criminal court judges that are presiding over cases where people are charged with state crimes, violations of the state laws.
Right.
So these are really the people who are making decisions that are impacting people's lives and livelihoods here in Cook County.
How common is it for voters at the county level to be picking as many judges as Cook County voters do?
Elsewhere outside of Illinois, this is not the typical system.
Okay.
But here in Illinois, this is the system we have. Judges run for office in partisan elections to first get on the bench. And then every 6 years, the county level judges go up for retention. So that's where we're voting yes or no, like we did just now. So every 2 years, we have that long list. You know, this is about a typical amount of people who are up for retention every 2 years.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, the vast majority of judges on Cook County ballots this time around, they were circuit court judges. So remind us, Maya, what they do and how they touch people's lives.
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, they do everything from deciding, you know, your traffic ticket disputes to, you know, presiding over marriages.
Yeah,
they are
family matters.
Family law is huge if you're getting divorced, if you're having custody issues. Probate also is a huge thing. It's, you know, whenever you have a loved one that passed away, if there's some issues to work out with their estate, mm-hmm. that's going to be a Cook County judge. They preside over civil law. Lawsuits. They preside over eviction cases. They preside over criminal court cases. So they really, they're really the judges that are deciding on issues that are, you know, the bread and butter issues of our lives.
And so specifically, this election cycle, voters were choosing whether to retain judges. How does the retention process work?
Great question. So basically, the system is set up where voters are asked to vote yes or no to keeping a judge on the bench for another term. So all of these judges have been on the bench since at least 2018. And this is kind of remarkable for a Democratic election, but they actually have to get 60% yes votes to stay on the bench. It's a very high threshold, you know, technically speaking. So you have to get 60% plus one vote to stay on. And historically in Cook County, it's very rare for judges to lose those retention votes. Mm.
So they just stay on.
Typically, yeah. Since we started doing this guide in 2016, we saw one judge lose a retention vote in 2018 and another one in 2020, and nobody lost a retention vote in 2022.
Mm. Now, Injustice Watch reported on three judges that had controversies, and they are close to losing their seats, which is rare, it sounds like.
Yeah, we have three judges now where the votes are very close, so we don't know for sure yet if they will lose their seats, but there are still outstanding mail-in ballots to count and some precincts outstanding in Chicago. So, one of them especially, it's extremely thin. He's on extremely thin ice.
Yeah.
And this was a judge that we reported on who had initially run for a bunch of other elected positions as a Republican and then ran as a judge as a Democrat in Cook County, changed his name to Shannon O'Malley, which sounds like an Irish woman's name. And we discovered some evidence that he may not even be living in Cook County. There's a second judge who also may not be living in Cook County.
Mm, interesting. So that's Shannon O'Malley. And then there's also E. Kenneth Wright Jr., who got into some issues over tax exemptions?
Yeah, so both Judge Wright and Judge O'Malley have claimed homeowner tax exemptions on homes in Will County, and the state rules are that you are only allowed to claim those exemptions for your primary residence. But Cook County judges are required by state rules to live in Cook County. So there's questions raised, and yesterday, actually, the executive committee of the in the chief judge's office referred both of them for an investigation to the Judicial Inquiry Board, which is the body that investigates ethics issues amongst judges in the state.
Interesting. So tell us more about the controversy surrounding a third judge here, Aisha Gray.
Yeah, so she received negative ratings. She's also the subject of a pending Judicial Inquiry Board investigation based on some allegations of abuse of her power and discretion as a judge. So her negative ratings mostly came as a result of complaints by attorneys on how she handles her power as a judge. And there were a few other judges on the ballot who had some negative ratings from bar associations. Mm. But those three are the ones that seem to be closest to potentially losing their seats.
So talk to us about where we're at, in terms of numbers with these races, and when we'll know for sure whether they are going to keep their seat or not.
So it's possible that we won't really, really know, especially with Shannon O'Malley, who's really at like 59.9% right now, that we won't know until the final deadline to count all of the outstanding ballots, which I think is November 19th. That's where we're at. We're at 98% of precincts reporting in Chicago, but we don't know exactly how many outstanding mail-in ballots that are left to count. Lots of people actually postmark their ballots and put them in the mailbox, but tons of other people, filled out the mail-in ballot and then dropped it in a drop box.
Right.
And the Chicago Board of Elections, for some reason, has not been able to update with like the exact number of those outstanding ballots. So we're just waiting for them to finish counting those.
Yeah. And it looks like Judge Wright currently has nearly 63% yes votes.
Yeah. And most of that tipping over the 60% mark is coming due to the votes out in the suburbs. In the city of Chicago, all three of those judges have below 60% based on the last numbers.
And of course, let's drive the point home. I mean, a lot of this judge talk, it seems very, obscure, but it's really important, right? I mean, as someone who puts together a guide every time we get to this point, what's it like for you just trying to make sure that folks understand like the gravity here?
Well, I mean, I love talking about this. I love encouraging people to vote for judges. We definitely see an increased engagement and awareness of our guide every election cycle. Mm-hmm. Since we started doing this in 2016, more and more people are aware of the guide, especially in the city of Chicago. Yeah. We have to work more on our outreach out into the suburbs, but we hear a lot about how much people appreciate it.
And because when they get their ballot, it's pages and pages of judges, and they think, oh, I can just skip this. Let me get to the big stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we're doing a pretty good job of driving home the point that this is the big stuff. These are the people who are going to be deciding how much visitation time you're going to have with your kids. These are the people who are going to be deciding how your, you know, loved one's inheritance is going to be divvied up, whether or not your loved one is going to go to prison for a crime they were accused of. So this is really the big stuff in people's lives. And especially in a climate of kind of like these seismic shifts in our federal government, yeah, in our federal officials, I think that people are, it seems to us that people are more and more engaged at the local level, which is great to see. I mean, we see participation in the voters actually filling out the judicial part of the ballot.
Yeah.
That's been increasing since we started doing the guide in 2016. More and more voters are actually voting for judges.
Good stuff. Well, as we wait for these mail-in ballots to be counted, what else are you going to be keeping your eye on, Maya?
Well, so we are now watching closely what will happen with these investigations, mm-hmm, into these two judges who refer to the Judicial Inquiry Board. The interesting thing about the JIB is that as soon as a judge like retires or resigns, they lose all jurisdiction to investigate, right, any of their conduct. Mm. That's not the case in every state. In some states, you know, retiring doesn't mean that the judicial inquiry body is going to stop their investigation. But in Illinois, that's the case. So one of the things I'll be curious to see is whether these two judges who are facing questions about where they actually live may just go ahead and resign or retire to avoid further scrutiny.
We'll have to see. That's Maya Dukmasova, who's a senior reporter for Injustice Watch. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That episode was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Meh Ahmed. Ari Mejia mixed this episode. We pair breaking news with nuanced conversations. So if you like this content, consider subscribing so that you don't miss a conversation. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk again soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.